Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together, wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to the Gospel according to Mark again and looking at verse 9 through 13. But before I read that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word. We do pray that you would bless it to us, use it to nourish us and feed us, that we might know you more and follow you more and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious about beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Wonder if you can recall the beginning of John's Gospel. At the beginning of John's Gospel, we get those witnesses that there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about it. John was a witness. The reason he came was to point people to Jesus, to point people to the light of the world. It was his only job at the end of the day. Though he did many things, though he baptized, though he preached about many different subjects and engaged with many different people, yet the primary thing he came for was to bear witness about Jesus Christ, the light who was coming into the world. And it's telling, isn't it, that right here, Jesus says to bear witness before them in verse 9. To bear witness before them. You see, this function of being a witness was not something unique to John.
Jesus himself was a witness. But his disciples
were also to bear witness. They were to be witnesses for Jesus. You see, you've got to remember where we are in the story. Jesus is engaging upon his return and also the downfall of the temple, which we'll engage with more, Lord willing, tomorrow. But what are the disciples going to do when Jesus is gone? Jesus both tells them what they're going to do, but also tells them what to expect, because in a lot of senses, he's preparing his disciples for his departure. And so, firstly, recognize what he's setting them aside to do. He says they must bear witness. He says in verse 10, the gospel must be proclaimed to all the nations. And verse 13, the one who endures to the end will be saved. So there's those sort of threefold functions that they are to do. They are to bear witness, they are to proclaim the gospel, and they are to endure. Why those three things? Well, as we've already recognized, they were to be witnesses to Christ, witnesses to Christ's resurrection, witnesses to everything that Jesus had taught, but then they were also to proclaim the gospel. Jesus was entrusting them with the good news of the gospel, the good news that there is a Savior in heaven, the good news that there is a God who has made peace with men. And they were to proclaim that, but they were not just to proclaim it in Jerusalem. They were not just to proclaim it in Judea, but they were to proclaim it to the very ends of the earth. And so we see here that Jesus is giving them a mission that is bigger than just their generation, a mission that is bigger than just them. But this is a mission that is being handed down to them and to those who will follow after them, to take forth the gospel to the end of the earth. And so, for my part, last night I was in an overseas missions committee meeting where we were speaking with a young lady who's looking at going to Mali to take the gospel there and to work in a hospital and to share of the good news of Christ.
But then he adds on this third reality, which is enduring. And it's this command to endure, this reality of the need to endure, that points to what to expect. I said there were those two aspects, what we must do and what we must expect. And so whatever's coming, we need endurance for it. Why? Well, to walk backwards through the passage, you will be hated by all for my name's sake. It's like Jesus says in John, if they hate me, how much more will they hate you? If they persecute me, how much more will they persecute you? And so here Jesus forewarns his disciples in what they are to expect. They are to expect to be hated. And, you know, I know it's really easy for us to fall into a false sense of safety and security in our world, but we must remember that it is no different today than it was for the disciples. It may look differently, at least in a Western context, but it is not different. It may look differently for those Christians in China and in parts of Africa, and in parts of the Middle East, but it is not different. It's still the same thing. You see, light has no part with darkness. Darkness has no fellowship with the light. And so it is with Christians and the world. The world might be peaceable to us, but the second you start telling them of Christ, they hate you. I was just speaking with one of the members in my church the other day who was telling me that they were engaging with their neighbor and just having a conversation, and that their neighbor said they were a good person. And so this person in my church said to them, well, why do you think you're good? The Bible says that there is no one that's good, for we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the second those words came out of her mouth, her neighbor became irate and angry with them. It's fascinating, isn't it? And this is the reality. They're happy for you to speak of God. They're happy to speak of God blessing you, God saving you, God doing many things. But when you point out their sin and tell them their only way to be saved is Jesus Christ, they will hate you for it. And what will they do out of their hatred? Well, continuing backwards through our passage, brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to the death. And verse 9, they will deliver you over to councils. You will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them. What are we to expect out of this hatred? We are to expect a world that will persecute us, a world that will judge us, a world that will seek to declare we are not fit for this earth. So if they can't silence us, they will kill us. And that's exactly what the apostles experienced, isn't it? Out of all 12 of the apostles, only one of them lived to see old age that we know of. John. And he was, by tradition we're told, boiled alive in oil and chucked on Patmos Island for exile. And throughout the ages, it's exactly what we've seen, isn't it? Christians suffering for their faith in Christ and their proclamation of the gospel. And so, as Jesus says, we must be on guard, because this is what we're expecting to experience. And maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking to yourself, well, how can I do that? I don't have the strength and courage to do that. I remember a young girl once saying to me, Logan, I don't think I could suffer persecution. I don't have the strength to do that. And maybe you're feeling like that. You know, the wonderful thing is God gives us the grace on the day that we need it. And that's exactly what Jesus says, isn't it? He says to his disciples in verse 11, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. What's Jesus saying here? The Holy Spirit hasn't even come on the apostles yet. And yet he says to them on that day, do not fear, don't be anxious, don't worry, be on guard, endure, be a witness, proclaim the gospel, because the Holy Spirit will be with you. you will have every resource you need to be my witnesses. And the same is true for you and I. It's not just the apostles that this promise applies to. Yes, it applies specifically to them, but it also applies to you and I. When we are called, whatever situation we're in, to bear witness for Christ, God enables us by his Holy Spirit to speak his word faithfully. And so, you are not competent in and of yourselves, but with the Spirit of God, you are able to do all that Christ requires of you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another day. We thank you for this word. And we do pray that you would help us to be faithful witnesses for your sake. Would you use your Holy Spirit that he might enable us to do all of this and much more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.